بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قيل يا رسول الله، من أكرم الناس؟ قال: أتقاهم لله. فقالوا: ليس عن هذا نسألك. قال: فيوسف نبي الله ابن نبي الله ابن نبي الله ابن خليل الله. قالوا: ليس عن هذا نسألك. قال: فعن معادن العرب تسألوني؟ خيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا أو إذا فقهوا. متفق عليه. Last week we began the chapter of At-Taqwa. As Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted certain ayat from the Quran with regards to this topic, the taqwa of Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the fear of Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. And after making the mention of those ayat, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this chapter. The first one is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, Qeel, Ya Rasulallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, O Messenger of Allah, Man akramun nas, who is the most honorable amongst the people? This was a question of one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man akramun nas, who is the most honorable? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atqahum lillah. The one who is the most pious and righteous, he is the most honorable in the sight of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer was based on the ayah of the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, in which Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu. O people, we have created you all from one male and one female, Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. And then we divided you and we split you in different tribes. And these tribes are not for you to have a pride in it, or for you to be proud of it, or to become arrogant because of these tribes. Rather, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ rather وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. We have divided you into different tribes so that you can know each other. So you know this person belongs to this family and this household and this tribe, just in order to know each other. Nothing more than this. And then Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. As for the one who has an honor and the one who has respect in the sight of Allah is the one who has the fear of Allah. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable amongst you is the one who has the most of the taqwa of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, who is the most pious and righteous, and the one who is muttaqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, in a long hadith collected by Imam Muslim rahmahullah on the authority of Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he alayhi salatu wa sallam performed his hajj. And Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is reported the khutbah of the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and part of the khutbah was which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered in Arafat and in Mina. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لأحمر على أسود. He said, there's no priority, there's no preference, and there's no virtue of any Arab over non-Arab. There's no virtue, there's no priority, there is no preference to be given to an Arab over non-Arab. ولا لأسود ولا لأحمر على أسود. And no preference or no priority, no virtue is going to be given to the one who has white skin or red skin over the one who has black skin. Rather, the virtue and honor and respect is only based on the taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So this is the reason that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted this hadith in this chapter. If you really want to be honored, if you want to be respected, and if you want to have izzah in this dunya as well as in the hereafter, then you have to have the taqwa of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. The one who has more taqwa is more honorable in the sight of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered this question based on the ayah of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat. But the companion, the one who asked this question, they said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluk. No, this is not what we are asking you about, O Messenger of Allah. Rather, we are asking you about something else. Tell us about the one who is most honorable amongst people. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered the question in a different way. He said, then if this is you are probably asking about the people who have been given special honor by Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram based on their lineage, based on their family roots, then if this is your question, then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then Yusuf, Nabiullah, Yusuf, the Prophet of Allah, he can be seen as one of the most honorable based on his lineage, because he was the Prophet of Allah and he was the son of the Prophet of Allah, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, and his grandfather, Ishaq alayhi salam, he was also Prophet of Allah, and his grandfather, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was also Prophet of Allah. One of the best household. So if you're talking about this, then this is Yusuf, Akramun Nas, the most honorable can be Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the companion replied, said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluk. We are not asking you about the prophets, O Messenger of Allah. Then he sallallahu understood. He said, okay, now I understand. An ma'adin al-arabi tas'aluni. You people are trying to ask me about the different classes amongst the Arab. Because Arab, they used to have, you know, pride in their tribe. Someone belongs to this tribe or the other tribe, and they used to be proud of this. Then Prophet ﷺ said, if this is the case, an ma'ad al-Arab, if you are asking about the different classes amongst the Arab, who is the most honorable, then he ﷺ said, then in this case, khiyaruhum fil jahiliyati, khiyaruhum fil Islam. Regardless of the tribe, regardless of the lineage, those who are best after accepting Islam, khiyaruhum fil jahiliyati, khiyaruhum fil Islam. Those who were best in their character, in their akhlaq, in their mannerism, in their conduct, before accepting Islam, they are also best when they enter into the fold of Islam. Provided, إِذَا فَقُهُ, provided that they comprehend the religion of Islam. They comprehend and they understand the religion of Islam. So this was the final answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all three are the correct answers. The first one is to do with the taqwa, and the second one with regards to the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and the third one, khiyaruhum fil jahiliyati, khiyaruhum fil Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam also said in another hadith, khiyarukum fil jahiliyati, khiyarukum fil Islam. Amongst you, those who were good in their character, in their akhlaq, in their mannerism, in their conduct, in their behavior, in their attitude, in their dealing, before entering into the fold of Islam, most likely they will remain good and best when they enter into the fold of Islam. Because this was the only bit that was missing in their life, Islam. And there are people who are very kind, gentle, soft-spoken, kind-hearted, before accepting Islam. And one thing that is missing is only Islam. And when they enter into full Islam, they even get better in their conduct, in their akhlaq, in their mannerism. And the ulama have said that the opposite of it is also true. Not always, but in most of the cases. Those who are bad and evil in jahiliyyah, before accepting Islam, and there are people who do accept Islam and they do start practicing the religion of Islam,
but they never tried to change themselves or to change their akhlaq and their character. And they continue committing those evil acts, even after accepting Islam. Although there are not many of them, there are few, but they are people. If someone is bad in his, and especially amongst the Muslims we find many, particularly amongst the Muslims, someone who is born within the Muslim household, but he was raised in an environment where he did not attach himself to the religion of Islam. He did not practice. Rather, he was in a bad company, in bad environment, and he adopted bad habits, bad practices, violence, you know, and bad behavior, bad attitude. And the person has, you know, the person has grown up like this. And after many years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to the deen of Islam. And the person may start performing 5 daily prayers and fasting during the month of Ramadan, giving in charity and even learning Quran. But when it comes to their dealing and their attitude and their interaction and also their behavior, they are still rude and aggressive and really bad in their behavior. And this is based on this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are good in Jahiliyyah before accepting Islam, most likely they are going to remain good when they enter into the fold of Islam. But the condition the Prophet ﷺ has put here is afaquhu. They are good only if they comprehend the religion, if they understand, if they try to seek knowledge, if they try to learn the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second hadith is the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الدنيا حلوة خضيرة. Verily, this dunya is sweet and green. It is very attractive. وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you succession to generation after generation. One generation has gone, and you are next generation to take over this land and this earth of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. Within a few years' time, you will be gone and next generation will take over. And then they will be gone and then the following generation will take over. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints you as a khalifa in this earth. Why? فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with regards to and in respect of your actions, so that he can test you of what type of actions you do. And then he said, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاء. So beware of the dunya. And the word in this hadith is used, فَاتَّقُوا. Have the taqwa of the dunya. Taqwa of the dunya. Usually we say taqwa of Allah. Taqwa of the dunya means, as we explained last week, the actual linguistic meaning of the taqwa is to prevent ourselves, to safeguard, to protect. So fattaqud dunya means protect yourself from the attraction of this dunya. Wattaqun nisa, and protect yourself from women. Because this is one of the biggest fitna, one of the biggest trial for men. Obviously men are trial for women and women are trial and test for men. So, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ. And then he said, فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءَ. One of the first trials that the Banu Israel faced, it was with regards to women. And if you were to reflect on this hadith, you'll come to know that many of the problems are because of this dunya, because of the dunya or because of the fitna of an-nisa. And it does not mean that the Prophet ﷺ has called women as a fitna, generally. And unfortunately, as sometimes it's misunderstood and people start, you know, attacking the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ has disgraced women. No, this is not the case. Rather, the point here in this hadith is to warn both genders to safeguard their chastity and their modesty and to have haya and to have barriers and to protect each other. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. And it is true. So if you look at one of, you know, if you look at some of the major sins, one of the major sins is what? Zina. Zina, and zina happens obviously amongst a man and a woman. Likewise, qatl and murder and killing, in many of the cases, the motive behind or the reason behind the murder are women. Stealing, drinking, or many other problems. And it's even when it comes to the family issues within the families. Do we not know that many of the problems within the household, within the families, amongst the relatives are linked to women? Marital issues, divorce, khula, this and that. And nowadays, you know, what's called social problems, okay? So you have many related to fitnatun nisa. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. Obviously, this hadith is very brief, but if we were to go into the details of this, then we need to look at the guidance and the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he, alayhi salatu wa sallam, gave us in order to protect ourselves from the fitna of the dunya and from the fitna of the nisa. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم often used to make this dua. Oh Allah, I ask you to grant me guidance. Oh Allah, I ask you, I beg you for guidance. والتقى and تقوى. والعفاف and chastity and modesty and decency. والغنى and self-sufficiency. These are the four things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And the reason that Imam An-Nawawi rahmahullah has quoted this hadith is that in order for you to have the taqwa of Allah, it is very, very important that you make dua. You ask Allah that Allah gives you and Allah grants you taqwa. Obviously, you try from your end. You try yourself to have the taqwa of Allah dhul jalal wa ikram by performing good deeds, establishing your five daily prayers, reading Quran, remembering Allah dhul jalal wa ikram, and trying to prevent yourself from committing sins and also avoiding from all kinds of haram, safeguarding your eye and your ear and your tongue and your other limbs, and you try your best in terms of your actions. And along with this, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grants you taqwa. Because without the help of Allah, without the tawfiq of Allah, no matter how much efforts you make, you're not going to be successful. So you need to make dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he dhul jalal ikram grants you taqwa. The next hadith is the hadith of Adi bin Hatim al-Ta'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, says, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من حلف على يمين ثم رأى أتقى لله منها فليأتي التقوى. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he said, I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, من حلف على يمين, whoever takes an oath, ثم رأى أتقى لله منها, then after taking an oath, the person realizes that there is another action that is more closer to piety and taqwa, then فليأتي التقوى, he should give up his oath and he should do what is more closer and nearer to the taqwa of Allah dhul jalal wa ikram. For example, you have taken an oath not to speak to your brother. Okay, if you have taken this oath and later you realize that this is something that is not correct, then in this case, you must give up your oath and then do what is closer to the taqwa, which is to make peace with your brother and then start speaking to him. So this is only one example, and it can be anything. And with regards to taking an oath, we should learn that there are three types of oaths within the religion of Islam, as the fuqaha have said. One is to take an oath about an event that has taken place in the past. Something that has happened in the past and you take an oath. Okay, you say, Wallahi, this is what happened. Okay, and in this type of oath, you must be truthful. You must be truthful. If you know, you must be sure and you must be truthful. If you know for certainty and for sure what you are going to take an oath about, then take the oath. And if you are not sure, then it is not permissible to take an oath. For example, one of your friends, one of your relatives approaches you to testify on their behalf in the court. Okay? And if you are not sure, and if you were not present on the event about which the case is going on, for example, in the court, then it is not permissible for you to take an oath on this. It's not permissible. If you do so, then it is going to be classed as one of the major sins. One of the major sins. Serious sin. If you have seen, if you have witnessed an event, then you can take an oath. And whatever you have seen and whatever you have observed and whatever you know for sure, then you can take an oath on it. Otherwise, don't take an oath. And second type of oath is which is known as Yaminul Lagh. Useless oath. Useless oath mean that, you know, especially amongst the Arab, you must have heard using the word Wallah. Wallah, Billah. Okay, this is a common phrase that, you know, we are almost with every single sentence they use the word Wallah. But Wallah, although the word Wallah is used for taking an oath, but when someone is using the word Wallah or Billah or Talla in their normal conversation, they do not actually mean taking an oath. So this type of oath is called Yaminul Lagh. Okay, so you cannot hold a person to account because of his simple statement or his conversation if the person has used the word Wallah or Billah or Talla in his conversation. Because the intention is not there. And with regards to this particular type of oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. Allah is not going to hold you to account with regards to the lagv. And the oath or the yameen, the oath that has no base, that has no intention. ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان. Or in another ayah, ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم. Rather, Allah will hold you to account with regards to the oath on which your heart was firm, meaning your intention was there. So this is the second type of oath. The third type of oath is that you take an oath with regards to or related to the event that is going to take place in the future. So you take an oath and you say, Wallahi, I will do this. You make a kind of promise, whether you will do it or you will not do it. So you take an oath in order to commit yourself to something. Then the ruling with regards to this particular oath is that you have to fulfill it. For example, if you took an oath that, Wallahi, by Allah, tomorrow Isha time, I will be here at Greenland Masjid, then you have to fulfill this oath. This is a promise between you and Allah. You have to fulfill it. And if you don't fulfill it, then you have to pay expiation, which is a kafara. You have to pay kafara. And the kafara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكَفَارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ. The kafara of breaking an oath. So as I said, you took an oath that you will be here tomorrow at Isha time, but for somehow you cannot make it, then in this case you have to pay kafara. And the kafara is, and this is the order, and this order must be maintained. You must keep this order. The order is that you feed 10 poor people, 10 needy. You feed them, provide them one meal. Or if you can afford, provide them clothing. Provide 10 needy clothing. Provide them clothing. So in this first option, within this first stage, you have two options. So whatever is easy for you and whatever is accessible for you, you can do it. If you cannot do first one, if you cannot do the first one, then the second option is to free a slave, which is nowadays is not possible because we don't have slaves. If you cannot do the second one, then you, for obviously in our time, you can say from first stage to the second, to the third one, you can move on to the third one. And third one is, as Allah says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, who cannot do the first one. If you financially cannot, and you financially are not able to feed 10 needy, and you cannot provide them clothing, then you move on. Then in the only in this case, you take the third option, which is فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ, that you fast for 3 days. You fast for 3 days. And your fasting for 3 days will be expiation of your kafara. So this is if, you know, if you break your oath, and if you breach your oath, basically you breach that promise that you made between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another scenario. Another scenario can be that you took an oath to do something that was not permissible. Something that was not permissible. As I gave an example early on, that you take an oath that I will not speak to my brother. I will never, wallahi, I will never speak to him. This is something that is not permissible. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to abandon his Muslim brother for more than 3 days or 3 nights. So you have taken an oath on something that is not permissible. Then in this case, you cannot continue fulfilling your oath. Rather, you have to break it. You have to break it. And because you are going to break and breach your oath, you have to pay expiation, you have to pay kafara. So pay kafara and then do what is permissible. Do what is permissible and don't continue with something that is haram or something that is not permissible. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this particular hadith, "Man halafa ala yamin, thumma ra'a atqa lillahi minha, falyati at-taqwa." Whoever takes an oath and then he realizes that something or another matter is more closer to the piety and taqwa, then he should go towards the taqwa and give up the first matter. As this is obviously in order to please Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, and this is the sign of the taqwa, and this is one of the means of gaining taqwa and obtaining taqwa of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. The final hadith of this chapter is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Umama al-Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala an, who says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَخْطُبُ فِي حَجَّةِ الْوَدَاعِ, that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivering a sermon during his hajj, the farewell hajj, in which he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqullah, fear Allah. And this was the common advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we find in most of his khutbas. Ittaqullah, fear Allah. So even in his khutbah of the hajj, he said, ittaqullah, fear Allah. And in order to have the fear of Allah, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, he said, وَصَلُّوا خَمْسَكُمْ, offer your 5 daily prayers, وَصُومُوا شَهْرَكُمْ, and observe the fasting of your month, the month of Ramadan, وَأَدُّوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, and pay the zakat of your wealth, وَأَطِيعُوا أُمَرَاءَكُمْ, and obey your leaders, تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ, if you do all of these, you will enter into the Jannah of your Lord, Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He Dhul Jalal Ikram grants us His taqwa. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wa-l-afafa wa-l-ghina. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq and ability to refrain and abstain from all kinds of haram and from all kinds of sins. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq and ability to continue worshipping Him, Dhul Jalal Ikram, until the last breath of our life. Innahu sami'un qarib mujib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.